And so it's this combination of the small and the intimate and the grand and the joyful.
Oh, yeah, because God is grand.
Yeah, so it's the small and intimate into the grand and joyful. And that, and it just keeps happening over and over, and he's just playing with that.
It's also, like you said, very musically pleasurable, and pop music is all about the hooks. Mm-hmm.
This is Songs to Discuss.
With your daughter.
With Willa Krishnaswamy.
And Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dad.
Hey, Willa.
This is our second episode.
I can't believe it.
I'm excited. If you haven't listened to our first, make sure go check that one out. It's interesting. But yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm excited. We're live now. Thank you to everybody who's already subscribed, five-starred it, liked it, reviewed it, shared it with all their friends.
Yeah, it's a long journey to a fully out there podcast, but you know, we're getting there. It's finally on Apple Podcasts. So.
Yeah, and actually, we should take a moment to take a break for our sponsors.
Yes. Okay, so thank you. Now, if you don't know, it's me, Willa Krishnaswamy, the daughter of...
This is Ravi Krishnaswamy.
Yeah, and we just...
Willa, how old are you?
I'm 11.
Okay, yeah, listeners might be wondering. And why are you talking to me about music?
Because you are just getting your PhD in musicology. You also are a composer. You have your own audio agency. Shout out to Copilot Audio Agency. He's the founder, or co-founder of that, sorry. He also just, he loves music, and he's got pretty good facts. And, I mean, he might not have all the answers, but he's...
I never have all the answers. In fact, a lot of times I'm out of my depth and talking about things that there are a lot of other people who are deeper experts. But...
We just thought this was a fun idea. And
yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyways, let's get into the episode because you guys are probably like, why are you guys blubbering on about nonsense? So, yeah. Anyways, so... Today, the song we're going to be talking about slash analyzing is the song called Holy by Justin Bieber featuring Chance the Rapper. It's not kind of a new release. Yeah, it's a new release. And another song that he released, a few weeks after maybe. It's called Lonely featuring Benny Blanco. And we're mostly going to be focusing on Holy, but... There is one question that does reference Lonely in this, so yeah. Oh, when I mentioned that questions segment, if you don't know, I actually ask these questions to my dad, and he gives me his best answer. So
should we start out by including an excerpt of Holy?
Okay. So since obviously legally we don't have the permit to include the whole song.
The permit. You can go down to the town and get a permit.
No, I'm sorry. That was a bad word. Yeah. Well, we can't include the whole song. So if you would like to get the full experience, go to Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream your music, and listen to Holy featuring Chance the Rapper, because we're only going to be including the chorus part, which is, I mean, you guys got to listen to the rap part. Chance the Rapper is great. So, yeah, make sure that if you haven't already heard that song, go listen there. But if you can't, we're just going to include an excerpt right now.
Give me life, baby. Yeah. I can't explain that the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Feel so holy, 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 holy. A track star, can't wait another second. Cause the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, feel so holy. They say we're too young, and the pimps and the players say, don't go crushing.
All right, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, so first, I just want to say that I don't know if anyone else thinks this is kind of like a similarity, but when I heard this, the chorus, specifically the chorus, it reminded me of the song No Tears Left to Cry by Ariana Grande. We actually talked about an Ariana Grande song in our last episode, but I feel like it reminds me of that song because she's like, right now I'm in a state of mind. She's very like, it's like a cappella, and then it goes in with a ton of drum beats and like vibey. Do you get what I mean? I feel like...
Yeah, it has that really nice contrast between the quiet, intimate...
like very sacred.
Yeah, and then the big funky beat.
Yeah, if you haven't heard that song, you should go listen to that song. It's great. But yeah, Dad, what are your thoughts on this song before I get to asking you these questions? Because I'm a big Ariana Grande fan, so I had a lot to say on the last episode, but you love this song. Like, you always jam out in the car, so I bet you have something to say here.
So we mentioned on the last episode that we listened to Hits 1 on Sirius a lot. And we just listened to all the latest pop songs. And this song started coming on, and it just always made me feel happy.
It's like a very feel-good song.
It just always made me feel uplifted. Yeah. And it felt like it had a message that was so much more wholesome and positive than almost everything else
in
on
pop.
That station.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really liked it. It always made me feel good. And I really love that basically there's this one move that happens in the song, which is going from his voice and piano into the... Oh, God, run into your arms like a track star. You know that part?
Yeah, you are not good in the high range.
I know. I shouldn't be singing on this podcast. So that part is like my favorite part, and it happens, I think, three times.
Yeah, it
at
happens
least.
In the refrain.
And it's usually the kind of moment that only happens once in a song, and I love that he just kind of gives you that moment three times so you can enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think it's very... It's pleasurable to hear that chorus really come in on that oh God moment.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so are we ready to get into the questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fire away.
Great. I've got six. All right. So
six
my first
questions.
One is that's the same amount I had last time.
Okay.
We went pretty quickly though. So
yeah.
So my first one is, how do you think the gospel voices in / the choir? Like, were created? Do you think they were created digitally or recorded? Or because they, I feel like the gospel voices sound so useful to the song, and I feel like if you kind of like maybe created them differently or recorded them differently, the song might have a different vibe. Because I don't know if you were listening closely, you can hear those when he's like, gong. Oh, not that part, but in the verses and in the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think they were recorded?
I think they were recorded and then kind of in the studio with like a, I don't know what this platform would be called, but like us on the computer, I bet there was an effect on them to make them sound a little more like coming out from the distance, a little less human, more like, ha! Like, oh, that was bad. I'm sorry.
Well, that would be in the performance itself. So first of all, unlike the question about the strings in the last episode, it's clear as day that this can only exist as a live performance. There's no sample library that does what those vocals do.
Okay, yeah. I thought about that, and I was like, this is a pretty obvious question, but I'm like, I'll ask it anyway. So.
In the studio, you can get sample libraries that have... like pads, meaning long sustained notes on ooh or ah, and you can even get a few stock phrases like yeah or amen, but you can't get
like a real
something that's
soul gospel.
Well, you can't get vocals that are singing the lyrics, which is what these vocals are doing. So of course I went to the Wiccanator.
Wikipedia!
And it failed. There's no credits on the Wikipedia page. So then I went to AllMusic. Do you know about AllMusic?
I don't. But I'm guessing it's something like Wikipedia, specifically for music.
It's a big database of credits, reviews, bios, discographies, and you can click through it and find out about who worked on what album. And if you click on that song, there are a whole list of singers. On there. And so they definitely brought in a choir.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, that makes a lot more sense because, you know, I was pretty on the edge. I was like, I don't think I should ask this, but, you know, I asked it anyway. So, anyways, moving on to the next question. Do you think this is a more like, this is a very honest and I want you to know how I feel song, or do you think it's more of a vibey, feel-good, audience-directed track?
I think this is a real honest... direct song, and it feels like a very different moment for Justin Bieber's career.
Yeah.
It feels like he's really opening himself up on this song.
Yeah, I feel like he's putting an emotion in.
So if you read about it, it's about his wife.
Yeah, it's definitely about his wife.
But it's also about his faith. He's a devout Christian, and both he and Chance the Rapper talk about their faith in the song very directly.
Yeah.
Talk about God being on your side.
Yeah, they don't really do that in a lot of popular pop songs, which is cool.
Yeah. I think that's what surprised me about it. And to be honest, I'm a very, 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 very cynical listener.
What do you mean? Like,
do you know what cynical means?
I've heard it, but I don't really. I'm going to just say it, guys. I don't know.
So it's like sort of when you roll your eyes and you say, well, he doesn't really mean that. He's probably just singing this to sell some records or to change his image, but it's a put-on thing. I'm a very cynical person, but I kept listening to the song, and actually every time I heard it, I bought more into it as a real honest change in direction for him.
Yeah, this episode is really based on Holy, but I feel like another song that he's recently released called Lonely with Benny Blanco, it's a very, very brutally honest song, I feel like. I'm not a believer, but I have a feeling it's like the most honest song. I have heard some of his other songs like Baby, 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 Oh. That's a song I know.
Yeah.
And this is, compared to that song, it's pretty different. You've heard that song, yeah.
What's that song called?
Baby.
Okay. Yeah, I know that song. Should we play a little bit of Lonely now?
Sure. I mean, just to, I don't know, connect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so.
What if you had it all, but nobody to call? Maybe then you'd know me. 'Cause I've had everything, but no one's listening. And that's just lonely. The price you pay for the money and fame at an early age. And everybody saw me sick, and it felt like no one gave a shit. They criticized the things I did as an idiot kid. What if you had it all?
That's okay.
I cut them out.
Pop songs have that.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
So the thing that gets me
about like the connection between them.
So again, I'm really cynical, and especially about, you know, rich, entitled pop stars complaining like, oh, my life is so hard. I mean, you could look at Justin Bieber and say like, how hard is your life?
He was famous at like 15. Like,
yeah, you've got everything. You're doing exactly what you love. You're making money at it. What do you have to complain about? And so I'm very cynical about pop stars complaining in songs and complaining about their lives, which seem very alien to normal people.
Yeah.
But he has that line where he says, they criticize the things I did.
As an idiot kid.
And that really got to me because...
Yeah, that's pretty honest.
It's hard to be that famous.
Like, watched at, like, such an early age. Like, I bet if I was, like, I don't know, the daughter of the queen, I'd be watching.
Yeah, exactly. So he's being really, again, super honest and direct in that song. And I think the two songs together on the radio at the same time are a completely different look for him. And I'm kind of...
thinking, like, back to that question, because I feel like we kind of trailed off. This is very honest, and I want you to know how I feel song. Less of like, okay, I'm directing this for the audience. I want to make a ton of money off of this. Mm-hmm. He's more like, I don't care if this breaks my career. I just want people to know how I feel, so.
Yeah, and it works as a result because it's honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I'm probably wrong, but I think maybe you'd make more money with being honest because people can actually, I don't know, like have empathy. You know, you can
I think there's a lot of dishonesty in pop music, but I think that if you want to have a long career as a musician, you have to
be honest,
grow and change and mature, and your audience will come with you if you do.
Yeah. Wow. Moving on to the third question. So if you, this question I'm very excited about. So if you were the producer, what would you have done differently and what would you have kept the same in Holy? Now, I know you're an audio producer for, as I mentioned earlier, Copilot Audio Agency. You're a composer and you do that stuff. You work with digital performance. You work with all that stuff. So I'm excited. So, yeah, if you're the producer, what would you have kept and what would you have done differently in Holy?
I think the production is really terrific, and it's very tasteful and minimal. When that beat comes in, it's just the beat, the bass line, his voice, and then one or two little shouts and ad-libs from the gospel choir. Did you notice that?
There's no other
instrumentation.
It didn't have like a ton of stuff.
Though, I think one instrument that I missed in the arrangement that I think would be really nice would be a Hammond organ, like a B3, which...
I'm really embarrassed to say this, but what is that?
What is a Hammond organ?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's like a... Okay, yeah, I don't know. I'm very clueless and... Just to answer my question.
Well, so, believe it or not, in one of the classes I'm taking right now at Brown... We had a scholar who's studying the Hammond organ come and talk to our class.
Oh, the organ.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said something else. I know what the organ is. It's like a piano, but it's also got like other levels, I guess. That's kind of how I think of it.
Let me pull up a Hammond organ and play a little bit for you.
Okay.
So that's a Hammond organ, and I was just kind of riffing around.
I know what an organ is. But I thought you were talking about something else. I was like, did I mishear you or something? But anyways, I'm sorry, guys. I'm kind of clueless in this episode. If I were listening, I'd be like, you got to study, girl.
So you know how we were talking earlier about Justin Bieber talking about his faith in the song and about God being on his side and Chance the
organs
Rapper.
Are very Christian, kind of. Like, they're played at church a lot. They're not Christian, but they're played at church a lot. They go along with gospel music.
Yeah, so what I was learning in this class from this scholar who's studying it, his name is Ashen Crawley. He's actually a scholar at UVA, where I went undergrad.
Oh, you went to college there.
Yes. So he's studying the history of the Hammond organ in Black Pentecostal music, and Pentecostal music is the music of the Black Pentecostal church. And it's gospel music.
Yeah.
And this practice of playing...
The organ.
The organ in church is really important to the service and to the music of the Black Pentecostal church. Not only the organ as it plays the songs, but the organ as the organist improvises in between songs while the preacher is preaching. And so it got me really thinking, they already had the gospel choir singing on this song.
Yeah, that would have been cool if they had the organ.
A Hammond organ would have really brought me in there more. And the organ, you can do so many things with it, with the different drawbar settings, with the Leslie settings. You can do a lot of things to the sound of it as a producer and make it change sound over time. So it's a really fun and interesting sound to work with in the studio.
Oh, well, that's very cool.
So the other thing, the only other thing that bugs me...
Like the only other thing?
The only other thing I would change in the production of the song is the very, very end of it when he goes, so the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, feel so holy. You know how he kind of...
He
shortens up the line and he makes it like a little tag at the end?
Yeah, he doesn't go, holy, 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 holy. Yeah, he doesn't go.
He makes it like this tag, almost like everything resolves perfectly.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have him just keep singing it the way he sang it through the song. If he sings it the way that it happens in the verses, then you end on a four chord.
Oh, yeah. That would sound nice.
Which would sort of be unresolved at the end. And I
yeah, well, it sounds nice because it's unresolved. It's like a surprise. Like
that's what I would do.
Yeah, it'd feel. Okay, so on to my fourth question. So after he sings, because the way you hold me, feel so holy, and then goes on to, oh God, run into the altar like a truck star. So why is that transition from like sacred to funky like so crucial to the song structure and the feel? Because I feel like that's when he really gets vibey and it feels good.
Well, so the transition is musically pleasurable.
Yeah.
Because you go from intimate piano and voice to this big, bright gospel choir singing with him, and then the beat and the bass line, and things really get moving. But I think that transition represents the concept of the song, which is he's connecting his love for his wife to his love for God.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's kind of like funky upbeatness. But
he's saying, you know, when you, his saying to his wife, when you hold me,
it feels holy,
which is how he would feel being embraced by God. And so it's this combination of the small and the intimate and the grand and the joyful.
Oh, yeah, because God is grand.
Yeah, so it's the small and intimate into the grand and joyful. And it just keeps happening over and over, and he's just playing with that.
It's also, like you said, very musically pleasurable, and pop music is all about the hooks. Mm-hmm. So that's another crucial part. Okay, well, on to the fifth question. So even though we haven't really talked about Justin Bieber's other recent release, Lonely, featuring Benny Blanco, do you think it has, like, a connection to Holy, even though the style is a little different? And if there is a connection, why do you think the writers did that? And what do you think their intention was for that connection? Now, we already kind of talked about Lonely, so, I mean, if we already answered this question, my bad, but...
Well, I think one of the things with pop music that's interesting is that it sometimes becomes really hard to separate the singer from the song.
Mm-hmm.
And we get wrapped up into reading about the artist's life and what's going on. And, you know, Justin Bieber had some tough years before these songs where he was dealing with some health issues, some mental health issues. And I think he's putting all of his life into these two songs. And I think if you want to listen to them as being autobiographical, you would listen to Lonely first, and then you would listen to Holy.
Yeah, because it's kind of like in books, there's always a climax and then like a ending, resolution. So
I think Lonely represents his realizing. It's his realizing that he's hit sort of this rock bottom in his life, and then Holy is him grabbing on to what he has
and taking advantage of it and gaining
comfort from his wife and from his faith. So Lonely is the sort of the lack of love.
Yeah, he feels kind of alone, nobody sees me, no one really understands.
And then Holy is the embrace.
Holy is when he's like, oh, I'm God understands, my wife understands. It's like, wow.
So it's really, I think if you're going to listen to those two songs, listen to them in that order, and you can feel what he's gone through.
Yeah, now, listeners, if you haven't watched the Holy music video, I recommend watching it. It really contributes to the understanding of the song, because it's kind of like a short film, right? It's kind of like where, so he's with his wife, he works at, I don't know what...
It looks like some sort of oil rig?
Or coal place.
I think it's an oil rig.
Yeah.
Which is actually complicated, because what happens is they shut down the oil rig in the video, so he loses his job and he and his wife end up homeless. And they're hitchhiking and they're picked up by a military serviceman who brings them home to his family to have dinner with his family, and it's a really beautiful moment.
Yeah, and it's like a short story, which is awesome.
But
or not it, short story, like
but it's
short
interesting
film.
that it's an oil refinery, because I know Justin Bieber also really believes in environmental issues, and to depict the oil refinery shutting down as being a like a negative.
Yeah.
Well, we should be getting off of oil, shouldn't we?
We should. I mean, I think it was more so that like he doesn't have a place.
Yeah. Actually, it's not an oil refinery. It's an oil derrick, I think.
Okay.
not that you care.
That I care, but...
What did you think of the video, though?
It was really good. I mean, it was like a lot of music videos where you go have one scene, you shift from one scene to the other. But I feel like it was... It kind of, like, reminded me of, like, the music video for Positions because it had, like, a story... I feel like involved, like it wasn't, I feel like some music videos are just like people dancing in different places, different outfits.
And you're referring to Ariana Grande's recent video.
Yeah, because she's the president and she's making all these decisions. She's meeting with the cabinet. It's kind of like, not that the stories have anything in common because they're completely different stories, but I feel like it had kind of like a meaning and I feel like he was trying to get out something with that music video with like something meaning like, oh my gosh, God has brought us in. Now we're at this table when I just got fired from work, but I somehow still have food. Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So when I saw the video, it actually made me think of a song by Madonna. And I had already been thinking about that song in reference to this song, to Holy. Now, what do you know about Madonna?
She was a very popular singer in the 90s. And 80s, maybe, I think, maybe. No.
Good,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
And I haven't ever really listened to her. I know she was blonde. Not yeah. that matters, but...
She's still around.
Yeah,
she's still blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a big pop star when I was growing up. And much like Justin Bieber, she was very successful at a very young age. Not a kid like Justin Bieber, but she was pretty young when she got signed and
like
became
20,
a big,
maybe?
Big video star. Yeah. And so what I started thinking about was her song, Just Like a Prayer, which is a song similar to Holy in that it appropriates, it's a white pop star appropriating black church music in their recording. And this is a complicated issue. Now, I don't expect you to sort of understand all the ins and outs of cultural appropriation in pop music, but there is something that's a little unsettling about a successful white artist bringing in
like
a
culture
black
from a black
gospel
culture.
Choir,
yeah.
And then like kind of making money off of it.
Yeah, that might be. I'm not gonna say troublesome, but like
it's
in the culture of like pop music with a lot of white superstars.
It's a deep discussion,
yeah.
And we don't have to totally get into it in this podcast. But what I will say is that Just Like a Prayer was this very, very big example when I was growing up of a white artist bringing in a gospel choir, and
yeah,
it also,
and that's what Justin Bieber did with this song, because as you were saying, there's a ton of gospel voices. It's yeah,
it also had a very cinematic video. We're gonna stop recording and watch the video together, and then we'll come back on.
Okay, yeah. And listeners, if you want to do that too,
pause
ahead.
It right now, go
yeah.
to YouTube, pull up the old Madonna video, and then we'll
what's it called again? Just Like a Prayer.
Just Like a Prayer.
Okay, Just Like a Prayer.
All right, so we had a candy break during that, too. What'd you think of that video? Did it
that was awesome.
Blow your mind?
That was cool. That was it's not like the video was similar to Holy, but it was like, I get what you mean by combining like black cultural Christian like gospel organ traditionalness. Sorry, that's not a word. But anyway, combining that with a white pop star.
It's almost like there's this move that the star is making, Madonna and Justin Bieber, that they're trying to achieve some sort of
like,
deeper sense of honesty by going to black music.
Yeah, like, because everything in art, I mean, most of the time, everything in art and like theater, music, visual art has a purpose. You
mm-hmm.
don't just like... In a piano or in any song, you wouldn't just like, I don't know, sing a sing an F note for no reason. Like,
so you're saying in both of those cases, the decision to go to gospel music was purposeful?
Well, I'm not the writer. I don't know. But I feel like in music, a lot of times that everything has a meaning in it, I feel like. Or maybe that only is for like film and visual art, but I feel like things are going to have a meaning in this. So I feel like there was some, and especially with what's happening now in 2020 with police brutality, it has to have a meaning. I mean,
it's so interesting because these two songs really do resonate with each other on a lot of different levels. They both have these longer, you know, 6-minute cinematic videos. In the videos, they both depict an interracial couple. You know, Justin Bieber has a black wife in his video, and Madonna is romantically connected to the black man who's first the statue, and then he becomes real life, and then he's framed for a crime. So they both have structures that go very small and intimate. In her case, she uses the Hammond organ, and in Justin Bieber's case, he uses a piano, and then they get big and funky with a good bass line in the choruses.
Now I have that song stuck in my head, just like a breath.
And they both also play with this image of the romantic interest and the religious idol.
Yeah, you know, religious faith.
Like,
thing. Yeah.
Because in fact, in the Madonna video, he literally is a religious
statue. Yeah, he's a statue
that then comes to
life,
and
then,
and then
comes
they kiss
to life,
at the end.
And then,
So, and she says, "I hear your voice, and I hear your voice like a prayer, and I want to take you there." It's almost like she's singing to Justin Bieber, and he's saying, "You know, when you hold me, I feel so holy."
Wait, Madonna?
Yeah,
Madonna's
like they could be singing to each other in those two songs.
Oh, I get it now. I mean, they're very like Madonna's not very big anymore, but like I get what you're saying.
So, going back to this appropriation thing, I think it's worth us listening to some other gospel music from the tradition to see where this inspiration comes from.
Yeah.
So I have two examples that I was going to play excerpts from. One is
Aretha Franklin.
The Aretha Franklin 1972 album, Amazing Grace. So let's listen to a little bit of that right now.
Okay. That was interesting. That was great. I've never really dove really deep and listened to that kind of music before.
We've listened to some Aretha Franklin before.
Yeah, we've listened to Aretha Franklin.
But not with a big gospel choir behind her singing religious music.
Yeah.
But one thing you'll probably notice is that the way she's singing those songs, that kind of performing, it started in gospel church practice and moved into R&B and pop music.
Yeah.
So a lot of the singers that you really love, you know, started out singing gospel music or are very influenced by it.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. I think that part of the song is really kind of crucial to, like, the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a holy song.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Bieber's no Aretha Franklin, though.
No, definitely not, though.
Let's listen to something that's a little more, a little newer.
Okay.
Father. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saves the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, but
keep on now. That's not what superheroes do.
See, I will never find
no greater love.
A love like this.
Makes
that was amazing.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. How recent is that?
2019.
Oh, that's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Kirk Franklin. Love Theory.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I want to go listen to the whole thing.
So who
was
he singing about? Who were they singing about?
They were singing about Kirk Franklin?
No.
No, the people who
were they singing to in the song?
The sky.
Not the sky.
God?
Yes.
Oh!
Sorry, it's religious music.
I'm not religious, but yes, God. They were singing to God.
Yeah, it's religious music.
Yeah. Well, that was a great question. I feel like we dove really deep, and it was really interesting. So, into my last question. We made it. 6 questions. So, ultimately, what do you think Justin Bieber and Chance the Rapper want listeners to get out of this upbeat sacred ballad? And actually, and earlier in the episode, we actually didn't play the part where Chance the Rapper raps. So can we actually play that now, just so the listeners know?
Yeah, we'll play a little bit right now.
Okay, great.
I don't Chance know.
The Rapper.
The first step pleases the Father. Might be the hardest to take. When you come out of the water. I'm a believer, my heart is fleshy. Life is short with a temper, like Joe Pesci. They always come and sing your praises, your name is catchy. But they don't see you how I see you, Parlay and Desi. Cross tween, Hesse, hit the jet ski. When they get messy, go lefty, like Lionel Messi. Let's take a trip and get the Vespas, or rent a jet ski. I know the spots that got the best weed, we going next week. I wanna honor you. Rise groom, I'm my father's child. I know when the son takes the first step, the father's proud. If you make it to the water, he apart the clouds. I know he made you a snack like Oscar Proud. Suffer it to be so now, gotta clean it up. Formalize the union and communion he could trust. I know I ain't leaving you like I know he ain't leaving us. I know we believe in God and I know God believes in us.
You hold me.
That part's great, yeah. I mean,
I love how the piano goes really high there.
Yeah,
when
and
it comes out.
I mean, since we didn't really have the whole song connected, it might sound like a different song, but, you know, Chance the Rapper is with Justin Bieber, that's on, and it sounds great. So, back to the question, what do you think they want listeners to get out of this song? What do you think, like, the message is?
I think the message is love, and how love can transcend, you know, love.
Interreligious.
Yeah, love for God, and love for your family, and it's a really wholesome message to have on pop radio right now, and I think they wanted to just put something out that felt good.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2020. Lots of things have happened that aren't great, so.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough year, so I think they're trying to spread some love on the radio, and Chance the Rapper, I think he's also fairly religious and has talked about that, and so you hear that in his lyrics, which are a lot of fun. They have lots of great little references, like going lefty, like Lionel Messi. You know who that is? That's a he's
I
a
said I was clueless.
Soccer
I knew
player. There's lots of little fun references in his lyrics there.
Yeah, well, we don't want to keep you guys too long if you're still listening, but bear with us, Dad. You have something very important to say.
Yeah, so you and I liked this song, and we had some good things to say about it.
Definitely.
Despite the cultural appropriation and all of the deep topics that need to be unpacked there on a different podcast.
Yeah, on a different day, so.
Yeah, but we love the song, but when I started doing research, it seemed like critics were not always in agreement with us, and we came across one brutal take on the song.
This is critics are supposed to speak their mind, give their opinions, but this review is brutal. Dad, do you want to say it?
So the headline in Stereo Gum is, "If Justin Bieber's wife is really so great, then she deserves better songs than this."
Oh my gosh. I am still pondering, like, I mean, yeah, this song is definitely about God and his wife, but, I mean, I'm, like, who would say that? I mean, like I said before, critics have to say their mind and say what their opinion is, because that's their job, but, I mean,
pretty bad.
Yeah, we just wanted to share that, and, if you agree with us on how, like, that review may be a little bit harsh, then, I don't know, write a review, because we want to know, like.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. leave us some comments.
Yeah.
Reach out to us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you didn't think we'd get through those questions, but we did. Well, anyways, our next episode is actually going to be about Golden by Harry Styles from his new album Fine Line, which is, yeah, it's a pretty good song.
So when Golden came on for the first time on the radio,
so embarrassed.
Willa was like, why is this song on Hits 1? It's not a pop song.
Well, it sounded very like Fleetwood Mac. And...
oh, you gave away our whole topic. It is. It's very Fleetwood Mac.
Well, we're not going to tease anymore because we're going to leave that for our next episode. But, yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks so much for listening.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.